Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Okay.
Episode 29.
Again.
Not again.
Why again, you say?
Oh man, this is how this is gonna go, isn't it?
Voice this is. Hey folks, welcome to episode number 29, the podcast that just keeps recording itself over and over again the same evening. It is 10:29 at night, and well, let's just jump right into the coffee heroes, because they're the ones who we just wasted their money.
We'll explain it in a minute.
We appreciate Mr. Anonymous, Neil, and Nick for thanks for hitting that buy us a coffee button. And to explain where your money went this week, here's Alec.
Oh, yeah. I had to get my thing. So what happened was we downloaded a new software. You tell I'm stalling. We downloaded a new software called Riverside FM. And to put it in short terms, it sucks. It's bad.
It has the right idea.
Yeah.
The idea being we'd be recorded separately into the cloud, and that would maybe take out the internet noise that's between us. But it didn't work. Go ahead.
But yeah, not only did the recording stop and it made us start over a couple of times, but it also didn't fully process Doug's recording. And so we did some research and found out it wasn't anything that Doug did, and it's just the program, and other people have had similar problems. So get on it, Riverside. Come on. Anyway.
Come on. So we're tired now. It's late. Oh,
yeah.
It's late at night. But let's lighten it up a little bit.
Oh, no.
I got a good one.
Okay. Let's see.
Two eggs, a bagel, and a sausage walk into a bar. Bartender, my friends and I would both like to have a cold one, says one of the eggs. Sorry, the barman replies. We don't serve breakfast.
So... I kind of like it. You have something better?
No, but I'll give you the one that we said earlier, so that we don't want the folks to totally miss out on this one.
Yeah.
A brain walks into a bar, takes a seat, says, "I'd like to have some wings and a pint of beer, please," he says. "Sorry, but I can't serve you," the bartender replies. "You're out of your head."
This is the worst.
Oh my goodness. So that's in the garbage can.
Yeah, that's where it belongs.
Right where it belongs. Anyway, what are you drinking? Because I am not drinking another coffee. I am drinking, I don't even know, some kind of frou-frou tea.
What does it taste like?
It's kind of a mix of a bale of hay and a flour.
Yeah. Mine is a sleep herbal tea supplement tea.
That's what this is, but I don't know. This is from Tazu or Tazo or something.
No, that's fancy. Mine's just from Aldi, I think. This from food and stuff.
I don't even know if I can drink this.
Oh, it's but mine's bad too, actually. Mine's really cool.
It's the worst. Oh,
bedtime tea.
And yeah, I'm still drinking it. I can't stop drinking it. It's different. Maybe it almost has a bit of licorice in the back end of it.
That's licorice. Did you just say it has licorice in the back end of it?
Well, I didn't mean the back end of it. I meant the flavor at the. Moving on.
Hey, yeah.
Listen, we could go on and chatter and yap it up, but I know that you're just dying to say something. It's has been your whole life waiting to say this story. Yeah. And you thought it would never come.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it would never come.
That's terrible.
Is there something you have to share with us?
Well, kind of ruined it, really. But I got engaged, guys. I went from a lowly, lonely, single woodcarver to an engaged, lonely, single woodcarver with potential of marriage. Now, right? Engaged. Yes. It was a fantastic day. It was 2 days ago. It was on Sunday, and best day ever, but it came at a cost. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
The plan was to have Annalise's best, Michigan friend, Asha, invite her to a friend's gathering, kind of a double date, right? And we had already planned to do this before I left, but we couldn't because I had work. I was in Missouri teaching. So perfect excuse for a double date / proposal. So I said, Asha, I'm going to propose to Annalise at this venue. You just have to invite her 4:30, this conservatory in Belle Isle, Michigan, Detroit. So we meet up there. I'm super nervous. The night before, I'm talking to the photographer, backing up a little bit. Night before, I'm talking to my photographer, and she goes like, are you nervous? And I said, no, actually, feel pretty good. She's like, all right, well, good luck sleeping tonight. Why would you curse me?
Why did you have to say that?
Yeah. So of course I'm like starting to drift to sleep, and I'm like, I wonder if I feel okay, but check my heart rate. It's like, 1 in the morning. The rest of the night, I'm just staring up at the ceiling with my heart rate going like this the entire night. So didn't sleep very much, but yeah, it was finally get there. Anyway, fast forwarding back to where we are at this beautiful, kind of like a greenhouse with a glass, roof, and designed after Thomas Edison's home. Apparently it's an interesting venue and gorgeous. And so we get to the cactus room, and the family, Annalise's family, wanted to be there for this moment. So they were going to hide.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
How Annalise's family went. So you've already done the pre-work with the family.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Annalise, her wanted her parents to be there. Her parents wanted to be there, and her sisters wanted to be there, and her brother-in-laws. So they hid in this room at the end of a hallway.
No, yeah. No, you gotta stop. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Why were her parents there, and how were they in on this? You actually told them first. How did Annalise want her parents to be there? If you know what I'm saying, or this was just general talk.
Well, so she wanted them to be at the general talk. She wanted them to be at the proposal when it happened, right? If it happened. So
okay.
So that's an important clarification. We've been talking about marriage, and it wasn't going to come as a complete surprise to her, but I at least wanted the day to be a surprise, right? So
for sure. Yeah.
So it scared me, needless to say, that her family would be hiding in a room where they could potentially be seen. But I went with it because it was important to both the family and her. And so again, in the cactus room, as I look over towards one of the opposite entrances, I see Annalise's dad, and I think, okay, maintain your calm, look at a tree ahead of you. So I look at a tree ahead of me, and I focus on that tree, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see Annalise turn toward that entrance, sights down, sees her dad. Her dad sees her. Silence. Cal goes, Annalise's dad goes, what are you guys doing here? It's like the jig is up, and then her mom comes around and they feel guilty, and you can see it on their faces. And sure enough, they're like, we're going to go get coffee. They just kind of meander away from us. And I'm like, Annalise, you know what's going on here. And she was like, yeah, I do. And so I said, all right, we have to get them back. She's like, what do you mean? I said, we are going to, you're going to say no when I ask you. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I said, yes, you have to do it. You have to say no. We have to get them back. Yeah. They can't ruin our engagement. You have to ruin it back, you know. So we go into this area where I was supposed to propose, where she probably now knows the family is hiding across from us. And I get down on one knee, I say my piece, and I say, will you marry me? And she looks down at me and she shakes her head no. And I'm blissing out. I'm so happy. I'm just like elated that she's going along with this. And then all of a sudden, after a few seconds of saying no, she goes. And then I run up and she nods yes. And I give her this big hug and the family comes out. And the hallways had been clogged with people. And so I distinctly remember Annalise saying, I don't want it to be like a public thing when it does happen, like at a baseball game type vibe. So hilariously enough, I thought this would be a quiet place, but it was just people flooding in. Like, can we take your picture? And it was really cute. So it was just an awesome thing. Even though it came at a cost, it was. So Annalise's mom came up to us afterwards and said, well, for a minute, I thought, well, maybe we didn't ruin it because she says no.
She says it's no. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. We're all happy for you anyway.
Yeah. No, it's so exciting. She's an awesome woman. So I'm a lucky man. I'm tired of people rubbing it in my face though. This thing of a friend called me today and he hadn't met her before. And he was like, so what is a girl that looks like that doing with a girl that looks like you?
Like, what is wrong with her?
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with her? I'm like, man, that is a really nice compliment to her, but you really could have put that in a different way. Yeah. Anyway, so I get a lot of that, but I definitely am marrying up for sure. So
she has a ring. So you played the long game. You mm-hmm. tricked her into a life of poverty with
a shiny ring. It's funny you say that because her running thing is I'm marrying you for your money. And my response is always, you know, because I have this 750 square foot house. It's no, you married me for my house.
That's right. No, you marry me for my Jeep.
My that's Jeep. Yes.
Your that's Jeep. That's right.
My rusty old, my pride, my hobby cars. That's fine. Yeah.
So, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, that's big fun, isn't it?
It was. It really was fun. I mean, I was, truth be told, I was upset after this happened. I was really, really quite upset, like sad, at least at a minimum, if not upset, angry. And as the night progressed, I started to realize, you know, the family's talking about it, like, we cannot believe that happened. And suddenly I realized, like, no, this is just funny. It's like,
this is a story that you'll never forget.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So
way to go, Cal.
he came up to me and said, well, Alec, you know, you really got something on me. You really got something good on me now. So enjoy this. And I, so I said, yes, I will. Yeah. Definitely will use this.
So who is in the wrong?
Well, truth be told,
did they just not go where they're supposed to go and they just got stuck somewhere in the middle, or?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think what I was told by Cal is that Luke was lookout, right? And so that's their son-in-law. And apparently they thought we were in the middle of this venue and they were on the opposite side. So they thought maybe they could enter through, maybe I'm mistaken, this other entrance and sneak over, but sure enough, and we saw him. So I don't know if that's true, but
but the coincidence wasn't there, because I think you told me before that it's like not close to your house.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, Annalise, she saw them and it's an hour away from where we live. So
there's no coincidence there. So
yeah, no, she knew exactly.
Funny to see you folks here.
Yeah. I love that he played it off though. He's like, what are you guys doing here? Oh, so good.
Oh, dear.
That's basically the most important part of my week, but what's going on? What's been new in your world?
That's well, great. I've been trying to redeem myself from the week prior.
Oh,
but the old thumb. I still have a hard time squeezing a piece of basswood, but I did learn that I could do the bark carving with the with the full size chisels, no problem. Yeah. But it's healing up pretty good. I blew it open a couple times this week, just not taking care of it. But I stopped putting a Band-Aid on it, so it's still pretty swollen.
Oh boy!
It still hurts a little swollen. But I had to stop putting Band-Aids on because at work, you know what? I keep doing this too. It stinks.
It's definitely infected.
They're rotten old Band-Aids on there all the time too. So I stopped wearing Band-Aids and oh my goodness. You know, you can't not hit it on something either. Everything you do now, all of a sudden your thumb's in the way and you hurt it.
Yeah.
Like, every time you got a silly little cut. But anyway, so I redeemed myself on the weekend and I carved like a maniac all weekend.
Nice.
So I did a few different things. I started out with kind of a little Peter Rabbity looking fella.
So cool. Ah,
you know, this is what I like about bark, those natural edges that you can leave in.
Yep.
I think they just add so much to it.
Yep.
And it gives a little bit more of a challenge to make things fit.
Oh man.
But I had fun with him.
I'll take him. Seriously, we got to have to do a carving trade one day.
Oh, a side note, there's some lady that has used every avenue and every opportunity to comment that she wants us to carve each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I've read it probably 5 times, and I finally responded.
Did you?
The other day I responded, and I said, I don't have 5 or 6 hours for that face.
I don't blame you. Nor do I have 4 or 5 hours for yours, man.
No.
Oh, God, so, we've looked at each other plenty enough this podcast.
But I think I want to do him again. I want to do, this is, I don't know what Peter, I didn't do my research on the rabbits, but it's probably more of a Peter Rabbit looking guy. But I kind of want to do the real hair. So even a skinnier face, more of the what do you call them? The march hair from Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
Right. So he's got the longer ears, and I still want to do that. So that's coming up. But then after that, that was Friday night. So then Saturday. Now remember, to be fair, the Sunday before was my birthday, and I said I wanted to carve all day, and then I cut my thumb before breakfast. And I couldn't carve all day. So this weekend was makeup time. So Saturday, I did a fisherman, and then I put a little twist on it.
Man. That's the coolest carving I think you've done. It's my favorite.
For the audio folks, I did like your general rain cap, old salty fisherman looking dude. Mm-hmm. But on a whim, I had this in my head for a while, and I wanted to stick a fishtail. Have a fishtail coming out of its beard.
I've
never seen that before, and it's still it's not exactly how I envisioned it. I was thinking more like a flowing whale tail, but when it came time to the carving, I made the hole too big, really. But regardless, I think it still works. So
it's awesome.
It's kind of fun.
It's so cool.
What else we got? You'll remember my nonsense facts from last week's podcast, too, about who?
Nonsense facts about... Oh, Humpty Dumpty.
I was going to start a new...
Holy crap. Jeez.
So I made a Humpty Dumpty.
You got to warn me before you do. A little
Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and he's so cool. He's a creepy Humpty Dumpty.
He's terrifying. But,
he is kind of odd, eh?
I like him, though.
He's an odd...
He's fella. Like a nightmare folktale character.
Yeah. So...
I love it.
So, really, that's what I've been up to.
Oh, and, I should... Speaking of which, I'm going to interrupt your segment. You I was going to show you... Show what I did for... This is sad for the audio people, but hold on one second. The carvings that I did for the class... The classes... Or at least two of them. I've tagged two of them. I don't know where the other went, but excuse me. So the this was the 2-day class, and I never really work on, I don't really work a whole lot on mine during the class. Oh, wow. I'm mostly helping other people. It's kind of a fun little work in progress there.
It's got an owl in the bark there.
Yep. And then we did like a kind of like a native guy in in bark. He turned out all right.
Everybody did this?
Yeah, this is what everyone was doing. This is, it's got some problems actually. I can see in the reflection here, but the problem is when I teach stuff is I'm always trying to help everyone else, and then I work on mine for, you know, a total of like 3 hours.
It looks great, but let me show me the top there. How thin do you have above his hair there? How much is left?
Pretty thin. I mean,
that's a little bit, that looks thicker on that side.
But yeah, on this side, maybe a quarter inch or so, or eighth inch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yep, but you use the wood. See, this is my problem. I never get, I guess I shouldn't say that. This guy's a little bit further back, but normally I my face is out in the front of the wood, and I need to suck them back in farther and use as much of that wood as I can get into, because you can go wider the deeper you go, right?
Yep. Yeah. So. But yeah, so show and tell time is over for me. I also got these in, actually. One last thing I'll show you guys.
Yeah.
I got these go-bys. I had my my friend and assistant, Sam, who comes over once or twice a month, make some castings of a go-by stick that I carved in clay for kind of just see the progress, some of the kind of little cuts that I make. And that's kind of neat. And
how did he make them?
He uses I'll show you in a second here what it is.
Silicone or latex? That's fantastic.
Yeah, a cool little.
I feel bad for the folks on audio because these are cool little study sticks.
Yeah, it's just a really basic little how to carve a face for like maybe an intermediate carver. Hold on, this steps are really it's pretty simple to make the casting. The mold part is the most challenging part. It's like a big piece of silicone. And so this is the negative, and it's just a big giant block of silicone.
Wow.
And it's kind of neat.
But now you can do that over and over and over again.
Yep.
Hey, what was it? What was the cast? What was the material he cast in it?
It's called HydroCal. It's basically a type of plaster that's more resistant to breaking. Holy smokes, brother. He's got a big old pile of
these study sticks.
That's awesome.
Truth of the matter is, I rarely look at them.
Yeah,
but I kind of collected them like carvings almost, because some of them are one offs too that
someone made.
Kind of cool. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. So got those in. Those will go up on the site. And anyway,
what do you mean they'll go up on the site? You're selling them?
Yeah, I'm gonna put these up on the website. On my website, and they're just a little plaster go bys. So
if you drop that, will it break up?
Mm.
Yeah,
it's not. It's stronger than plaster, meaning that you can't you're not gonna like bust it by, setting it on a table like you would plaster, but it's still a plaster of Paris based product. Mm. It's just a little stronger.
That's really fun. I was at, Sophie dragged me to one of her craft stores, and I was looking at the latex. Silicone is one thing.
Yep.
But the latex, like, I kind of like the latex idea because I was thinking about like taking a gnome, but mind you, it takes like 30 paint-ons of this latex.
Yep.
And then you've got the sloppy little gnome condom, really. It's just, and you make a mother mold for it, but I was thinking about casting a bunch of the little like cement guys.
Yeah.
Little gnomes.
Dude, that's a great idea. Cement is, I've done this in cement before, and it's heavy, so it's harder to ship, but it is so cool.
Well, so I have my gnome house outside, and right now I've got a bunch of carved gnomes, but I thought if I just make a whole whack of these little cement gnomes, because I have a whole gnome world in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
On this, anyway, I won't talk any more about it. But
That's a cool idea.
We have a gnome thing here, so it'd be fun.
The silicone's it's a little more expensive, but you can also paint it on like the latex, you know, with the coats.
To be fair, that's a lot of silicone.
Yeah, this is a really inefficient way of going about it. This is like $100 in silicone right here. $150
for sure.
Yeah. So
yeah, because the things that I didn't see that size or quantity of silicone. All I seen was more of the press-in kind.
Yep. Had to buy a pail of it, like a 5-gallon pail of it.
Yeah. But so. No, that's a super fun idea.
Yeah.
Good for him. So
yeah, he's doing a good job. But otherwise, what's been going on? Anything else fun? Lots of carving?
Just lots of carving, work as usual.
Carving week though.
That was all in the weekend. Yep. Jeez. Yep, it was fun. I did, you know, the ongoing saga of the flex cut tools.
Yeah.
I did. I put them in the tool roll and I put them aside.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Now I will take them camping.
Yep.
But what I found, because then I started testing, because I'm like, well, I'm not making video. Why can't I use my good tools?
Right.
But then I said, well, I want to learn to compare them back and forth. And I'm telling you, this might be just common sense to everybody, but flex cut because they flex.
I've always said this.
Right. So when I had that longer handle on there that I would like, that big handle.
Yeah.
But I was, and I think that maybe that's how I even hurt my thumb. Not that it's the tool's fault. It's still my fault.
Yeah.
But I think I always overpower everything. And I think I pushed down and I gave it a little bounce. Do you know what I mean? Like a little flex and a little skip. Because you don't get that with the file solid tools. It's just a straight in and out. Hey, Alec?
Flex cut. Flexes when you don't want it to. Yeah, the idea of the tool flexing.
Not blaming the tool, but I'm just saying, like, that's
no.
When I'm jumping back and forth like that too, it's just. I mean, I got file tools right here. So.
I feel the same way. Like, it shouldn't be an advantage to the tool for it to flex. It's just like not usually good.
Yeah. But anyway, like I said, it's a great starter tool for sure. And maybe I will drag them out for the beginner videos, or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just keep it for camping or traveling.
Mine stays in a bag that's in my truck. And I just, if ever I'm out and about and I'm camping or, you know, like doing anything where I'm bored for days at a time, I pull it out and I carve some whatever branches. Keeps me sane on camping trips. So.
Oh. And I ordered some no-cut gloves.
Oh, good idea. I wonder what inspired that.
I have one, but right now I'd have to soak it for a week to get all the blood out of it. Because I put it on after. But I never wore a glove, and I still don't like the idea of a glove. And I think, but part of the problem is that the glove, when I wrap my paws around, you can't see what I'm working on very well, but I ordered a large size glove. So hopefully it'll be like super tight. That's my hope. And if it's super tight, then it's going to be better. Cause the other one did have a little bit of a sag in it. So anyway, maybe I'll try it.
Yeah. Maybe hopefully that works. But no, I get it. I don't like having things on my hands when I'm
carving. I can't stand it.
But. You know, it's crazy. This is weird and out of character. I'm going to teach a 3-day workshop this weekend on power carving alone, a life-size bust.
Really?
No hand tools allowed. It was the rule that the host of this event made for me. He said, these people aren't going to come wanting to learn to use hand tools. They're going to want to use only power tools. So
list them.
I have an electric, an 18-inch electric bar, Makita for roughing in. I have a steel dime tip bar for detailing. I just have a random scrap electric saw to run for any sort of things where I'm not, you know, concerned about running into the ground. I have a die grinder with a tapered sphere, not a sphere, but one of those tapered conical bits. I have another one with a small ball, a quarter inch ball. And then I have two Dremels, one with a very narrow conical burr, and then one with a small rounded tip burr. And basically a sander as well. I have a fingernail sander, I think it's called. It's got a belt on it. It's just a very
thin belt. Yep.
Yeah. It's not a fingernail. It's a finger sander, I think, something like that.
Yeah. I can picture it. Yep.
Yeah. So and that's pretty much it. That's basically all we'll use in the class.
So how do you go about giving these? I take it these are beginners.
There's one kind of beginner, but then the other ones are intermediate carvers, apparently, or advanced even. I'm not sure. Yeah,
because to just turn over hand tools or power tools is a different animal even than hand tools.
Well, and so that's why he wanted power. Most of the people that he deals with, he hosts, are power carvers, and so they're only using power tools, and they want to make things. They want to have a finished bust in 3 days. And so it's going to be a fun challenge for me because, you know, I mean, I'll work on one of these life-size busts forever. I mean, forever. Yep. I'll on and off. I'll putz with it. I'll pick it up again. I'll put it away. I mean, I've had this thing in here for, you know, since the fall, and I haven't done anything to it. So I do that. I tend to start things and, you know, if they're not like commissions, there's not a deadline, I let them sit around. So it'll be kind of a fun challenge to, you know, have to knock something out in 3 days. So will it get done completely? No one's going to finish their carving, but we'll get close.
That's fun.
So
do you have the die grinder, eye burning bit?
Oh, why did you mention that? Those are fun, aren't they?
I don't even know why I want one, but I want one.
Yeah. No, they're cool. I think they're neat. They've got like different sizes of them, and you can
picture folks like a bear eye.
Yep.
If you're doing bears or something, you just take this bit. You just put on your die grind and you burn in these little bits, and they're black already because they kind of burn a little bit too.
And it polishes them, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So they're black and shiny, and it's great. But yeah, that. I do kind of want one of those, but no, I don't have one.
Yeah.
I'm out of my depth teaching. And that's part of the reason I'm doing it. I just have three students. It's a small class, and they're taking a chance on me being able to teach it. Cause I mean, people know that's not what I'm usually teaching. So, it should be a learning experience. So we'll see how
it goes. Three people. That's kind of nice. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. I got a buddy going down it with me. It's 7 hours away from here, and it's at a really cool kind of shop that Abby Peterson, I've mentioned him before, is hosting, and he's got a great little setup.
This is Abby.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
so he'll be around.
Yeah, he'll be there. He'll be working, I'm sure. So
nice. Well, that's fun for you.
Yeah. No,
so
it'll be good.
Well, here's something that just to touch on too was I was curious, like I've had to, so you have students, they pay their money, they come, they're eager beavers, they want to get in, they want to work on it, they want to learn.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of not negative, maybe more frustrated people who watch a tutorial or watch my getting started wood carving videos, and they're coming back to me going, it's too hard. And they give up. They buy a handful of tools and then think that their first carving is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And they get frustrated and they give up.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it's an age thing or if your generation is not into diving in and learning and or if I don't know what I'm saying. If it's more of a giving up generation of people that they just don't put in the effort.
Yeah.
Or is it the versus free content versus paid content? Whereas they're committed. They put the money out. They're committed. I guess they are with the tools too. But I just think that I had one person was ready to give up first carving, first try. I'm like, this carving that I just did, I made 8 of them before I made the video.
Yeah.
It's like, what's your problem? Like,
yeah,
if it's perfect, then I'm horrible. If your first one is awesome.
Yep.
So
no, it's an interesting and good question, because I think what makes people good at something is more than just being naturally good at it. And you touched on that when you say you did 8 of those projects before you made the video for it. For me, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm only good at the things that I've done over and over and over and over again. And I'm not a naturally, say, talented artist. I don't feel that way, at least. I mean, maybe there was some degree of like a natural understanding of like shapes, and I was good at like playing with clay when I was a kid, right? Like we probably were both good at making little fun characters out of clay. But it's just hard. It's just, for me, it's just like the thing that I think about when I think about what I believe you're touching on is maybe these people don't like it as much as I do, because when I was a kid, all I liked to do was watch videos on carving and make carvings. And I didn't, they weren't any good, but I just still kept thinking that I could do it. And so I liked it. So
there might be something to that, because when I started into my first carving, I knew, I wanted to be a wood carver.
Wow.
But to be fair, 6 or 7 years later, I just feel like I'm getting better. You know what I mean? Like, it's not an overnight. Like, what's that old saying? Practice makes perfect, and it takes a lot of practice. I think someone made that up for a reason.
Yeah.
And you can't expect to do beautiful work. Mind you, I see some of the work that comes out of your classes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's encouraging for the student, because they've got someone there to guide them and keep them on the right path. Because your students are turning out better work than I can do still.
No.
In the first class.
So. No. Well, here's the problem with that is, thanks. You know, I get lucky. I've got students who've been carving for like 30 years, sometimes 40 years, and more even. So that's helpful. I mean, they're talented, so I can't take credit for their talent, but,
talent.
How do you say it?
I've heard.
What do you say? Talent. What do you say? You Canadian.
What do I say? Talent.
Oh, sorry about that, eh? My apologies, eh?
Hey, I withheld the first 3 times you said it, and I couldn't keep it anymore. Is it talent?
Talent. It's all about the Michigan accent is all about just saying everything with your nose. That's
talented.
Talented. but no, for real though, the problem is I've literally heard a student say this to either yesterday or today, but the problem is when you're not around, I don't feel confident enough to carve. And it's like, that's a problem. Like if you don't feel like you're capable of doing it on your own, what the heck is the point of all this? You know?
Well, you know what? Another thing is too, this is a good little side. I talked to, I called up this fellow Moore Basswood and Roughouts. Mm-hmm. And he was apologizing to me, like, in my mind, his basswood is so fantastic that I am willing to pay the exorbitant shipping from the state. The shipping is more than the wood.
Wow.
It's like by a lot. Hmm. But I was telling him, I said, when you figure it out, like an inch and a half stick, 12 inches long, cut that into 3, it's like $1.75. So each one, a 4-inch little piece of wood.
Yeah.
So even if the shipping is equal to the price of wood, now you've got $1.20 in a 4-inch man.
Yeah.
You should be willing to throw that out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That little $2 even say for a 4-inch man might keep you occupied for 4 hours.
Right.
How much does 4 hours entertainment cost?
Yeah.
In another venue, right?
Yes. That's a great way of looking at it.
You don't be afraid to carve because you need to make mistakes so you learn how to do it differently the next time.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm not seeing. I'm seeing people are just holding, they're buying two chunks off eBay of this basswood, and it's just gold to them.
Yes.
But
that's a great point.
If you spend money, and not everybody has a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's just, but I'm saying when you figure out the cost,
mm-hmm.
you're only paying a buck or two for all that hours of entertainment and practice. And if you screw it up, carve on the back of it.
Yeah, no.
And that's if you a screw great that point. Up, carve on the side and then just burn it if you have to. But you're not going to get perfection right off the beginning. And that's what I want to encourage the new carvers. Like, man, I have boxes of carvings that will never see the light of day again.
Yeah.
But I mean, my daughter has them and she brings them out and I'm like, give me those. I'm going to throw them out. She's like, nope, nope, nope. So
no,
we had a question with the Buy Me a Coffee guys. Mm-hmm. That was, what was the first thing you ever carved?
A boot, like a cowboy boot.
A boot.
A boot. You know, the way that you would say about.
About, yeah.
A boot.
Did you put laces in it?
I was a boot too, but then I decided not to.
Do I have one? I should.
You have a boot as well? Oh, man, that's a real one. Wow.
I have a boot.
That's quite a boot.
Now, again, not made by me.
Oh.
I just collect these things at the antique stores and the secondhand stores. But
no, that's cool.
This is Atelier Noel Guy, St. John. Yeah, Quebec again.
Yep.
Well, like Quebec carvers.
Yeah.
Larry Green has a book, Carving Boots, Beginner's Carvings. So, yeah. For me, it was, I always tell the story of watching a Gene Messer video, and I carved a little 3 or 4 inch man off of one of his videos using a 4-inch bladed bushcraft knife. That was my first carving.
Really? So, oh, the Moya? Yeah,
no, it was a high end, like a Venture Sworn knife.
Wow.
So yeah, I used that and, soon after bought a carving knife.
Yeah a proper carving knife.
A proper carving knife.
Well,
yeah.
Did we cover it?
I don't know. Do you got anything else to add to that? It wasn't really a complaint. I'm just hoping to maybe encourage people to stick to it. Stick to intuitiveness needs to increase, especially with the younger folks, I find.
Yeah.
If you want to try something, you gotta try more than once.
Right.
You gotta dig in, learn. There's ways to learn. Like you said, you're not very artistic. Well, which is not true because I see you can draw what you're carving. I can't draw a stick man. So I'm just using procedures and steps to complete my carvings. So I can't draw, but I'm starting to be able to figure out through carving, removing the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving what's left, and that's how I draw because I can't draw it on paper, right?
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I wish I could draw. I can't draw well, man. No, I have acquaintances and friends like Joshua Newham, who's like, watch him draw on his iPad and these little videos that he posts, and it's like, makes me want to throw in the towel. But yeah,
I've always tried to encourage my kids to learn the doodling and the sketching and stuff.
Yeah,
because I can never do it.
Yeah, so. No, it's it's a good skill. I mean, there's some sculptors that say the key to sculpture is drawing. So, and I can see why it would definitely help. For sure, it helps.
Well, like we talked about this before, that some guys can do everything.
Yep.
And if you can draw, you've already got that mindset. So whatever media is in front of you, you're going to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
So it's an unfair truth, but.
For sure. For sure. So. All right.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Oh. That was good. That was good.
Well, you're switching up the tune all the time.
Well, yeah, I have to. I have to keep you on your toes. Well, we can't just have it be the same thing every
time. We can't ever have it work out.
No. I'm telling you, that wasn't bad. Okay, so Brad, see, he tells us a story about how he also cut himself by picking up his knife. Well, a little different than your story, picking up his knife backwards and proceeding to do a push cut on the blade, the sharp cutting edge. Oh, with no super glue in sight. He said he went online and bought a glove from Chipping Away and a thumb guard.
Yeah. I can see how that happens. I already did this once, but no one's ever going to see the light of day of that first episode. So I'm going to show you again.
Oh,
about
yeah.
We talked about Warren Cliff blades.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Doug's grabbing the blades to show us.
What I was saying earlier was the people say, how do you do that, right?
Yeah.
So I got two more knives, both the same length. One is, it's a 120 and a 122, okay? But you see how one's a Warren Cliff, which means it's got the straight blade with the curved back. One is the regular with the curved edge and the straight back. But what happens, look at these knives, when you turn them sideways.
Oh, like, it's deadly, man.
Right? Yeah.
They're the same profile, except the wrong side is sharpened on one. So it's going to really throw you off.
So people do that all the time with the Warren Cliff. But to be honest, it's not even my favorite kind of blade for the Morris, and not for our kind of carving, but for, especially for greenwood, I like that little curved blade.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. It kind of would act like the tip would be kind of like a skew.
Yes and no. So I was just going through my knives again, and I want to buy myself a proper curved blade because I'll tell you about my artist of the week later, but I'm watching him with a little curved blade, and he just flicks the chips off with this curved blade, and it looks interesting. Instead of my cutting chunks off, he's just flicking these little with that curved blade edge. But I like to try it at least anyway.
Yeah.
But sorry.
So he also goes on to say that he on a road trip lost two nuts. I should say,
what kind of a dummy would do that?
Hey. He lost two nuts from his wheel off his car, I should say. Three lug nuts. Fair. And he now owns a torque wrench. That's good, Brad. That's good. I do too. I had a torque wrench on this trip. It didn't help me any though. So, all right. So Peter,
those who didn't listen to last week's, he's just accomplished both of our major fails of the week on his own.
Yeah. So first of all, this is, by the way, Shaney. She says, "Hey Arnold and Dapper Dan." First of all, she never thought she'd be taking up a hobby at the age of 50 as a mom before with an intense social day job, but she has. Anyway, she said, goes on to say here, "Thank you guys for such great instruction and encouragement through your fun, casual banter. Aw, you keep me laughing and wanting more. I look forward to watching your video every Saturday morning with my coffee." So much so, I've gone back and watched almost all of your episodes. Yes. Good job.
Yes. Great to hear. I think everybody should do that.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they'll appreciate where we are today compared to where we started.
No, that's true. Yeah. Anyway, as a new carver and a bit of a perfectionist, I'm struggling with getting hyper-focused on what I'm doing, and I find myself whittling away too much and ruining my piece. Hours go by in what seems like minutes, and my little person ends up being half the size of Doug's, with some parts perfected and others not so much, and my proportions all wackadoodle, which is definitely a word from a Roger Miller song. Any tips on how to break the trans I seem to get into and let go of trying to perfect each cut and or part of a carving so much that I ruin it? Surely this has never happened to either of you.
I'm still stuck on wackadoodle. I could see a wackadoodle like a, as a game, like a, like say like a little pop-up groundhog game that you got to pop the heads when it pops up.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what there it you is. Go.
If it's not made, we should make it.
Yeah.
No. The wackadoodle game.
And that was the dawn of our board game company.
Thanks for the email. No, next. Yeah. No, yeah. She has the, that's the opposite problem
mm-hmm.
that most carvers have.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Too much. Yeah. All new carvers carve so shallow because they're mm-hmm. scared to take off too much wood. It seems to be anyway.
Yeah.
So how does she? I don't really have a good answer for that, but all I can say is symmetry in your cuts
mm-hmm.
and when mm. symmetry in the variety. So when I'm carving, especially when I'm just trying to figure something out too, like mm-hmm. if I'm making up a carving or something, like I'll block in the head.
Yeah.
Then I'll go the feet. Then I'll go the arms. I'll go back to the head, then I'll do the nose, then I'll do the boots, then I'll do the ears or whatever, you know, and then left to right, right to left, up and down. Match your cuts as you go, and you'll keep it uniform going in. But as far as trying to perfect it, like you really don't have, when you get down to the very, if you do that, working side to side,
yeah,
you're not going to get lopsided.
Right.
So when you get down to the final cuts, it's, I don't know. It's, you get right down to the wire and
things are in better shape.
Final cuts. When your eyeball is there, your eyeball is there. When your nose is there, your nose is there. So I don't think you would keep hacking at the nose.
Yeah. No, that's a really good, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I wonder, and Shani can speak up to this, if this is what she's dealing with, but I could totally see that being a cause for that, right? You do one thing to one side and then you keep going on that one side. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait, I need to match to this side. And then you make that side too small. So you have to go back and make the other side smaller. And then before you know it. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I don't know if that's exactly what she's saying.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is once you get your features established,
yeah,
you know, when you're going too far.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And perfecting it. And there's a little bit of play. So say you've made your nose
mm-hmm.
and your forehead's out here. Well, then you can bring your forehead back.
Yep. Yep.
But you're not going to recarve a nose deeper until then you have to take half the head back again. You know what I mean? So there is some play, like, because there is no rule, especially in caricatures, of the perfect ratios.
Yep.
Like you see some bodies that are half head for silliness sake. But that's all I got. I don't, I can't really talk about over carving unless I make a mistake. And in the early days, I made lots of mistakes on eyes and kept trying to fix the eyes. And I keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And then I start taking mm-hmm. the forehead back and then the nose back. And then all of a sudden the head, by the time I'm done, the chin is level with the neck. And that's the time to turn over and carve a face on the back of the head and then pitch it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I guess the way this problem looks for me is, and in years past, it's been more of a problem with just like, well, you ever do this where you take pictures of your carving as you're moving through it, and then you look back at the pictures and you like it better, maybe like a few steps back? I did that for a while where I just would, I get to a point where you could have called it done, but just out of paranoia, just keep stretching it out. So
yeah,
Yeah. So don't do that.
Yeah, learn to stop. I always talk about that with the opposite effect with the drywall tapers. You put the mud on and stop. You have to stop. If you try to put too much on, then you're sanding more. Just get the tape and the first coat of mud and then stop. Get out of there.
Right.
And then come back and put another thin coat on and then another thin coat on. People like to play with it and put on like a half inch of mud over top of it.
That's me.
For days. And then they think it looks good. Then they prime it. And it looks like total garbage. It's got those little lumps and bumps and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And the trick is just stop.
Man, you could have told me this like 2 years earlier when I did my drywall.
Well,
always get the news that you need after you need it.
When you're old, then you'll wish you were young.
There you go. Okay, Rob asks, Doug and Alec. First, congrats to Alec on his engagement. Oh, okay. He must have seen the internet.
Watching you.
Wish you all the happiness in the world. Thank you, Rob. Second, this is funny, relevant to what we were talking about earlier. He asked what an eye punch is and if either of us have used one.
This is a new question.
Yep.
Since in the last couple hours.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And what's funny about the eye punch question is I never knew what an eye punch was until Doug mentioned the eye burnishing tool. And that's exactly what it is. It's like a little cone or, concave ball that when you cut into the wood or press it into the wood or pound it into a piece of wood, it actually creates a little mound. And so this eye burning tool is like basically a modified version, a spinning version of an eye punch. And I used it once, but
so
that's it.
I can speak to that eye punch. You'll see, I think Ramelson makes them. Anyway, I think it's a burgundy or a dark wood handle anyway.
Yeah.
They seem to be in the, I wouldn't say lower end of tools, but
yeah.
Anyway, I've bought both of the two types of them before, oval and a round.
Okay.
And I threw them out.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not used that kind before, no.
The pushing kind, I had no use for it. It just mushed it in and you're still cutting it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the help I wanted.
Okay.
Now, if I was an inventor, I have this idea in my head and I was even going to do it. So picture these rabbit eyes, right?
Yeah.
They're a round eye.
Yep.
And then you cut away from that. Okay.
Yep.
So how do you do that other than taking, you can kind of take like a number nine gouge and kind of turn it a little bit and you can kind of get that, a perfect circle.
Yep.
But I have a bunch of these templates and stuff where I'll just draw the circle on.
Yeah. There you go.
I was thinking when I was drawing this on there, I was thinking I could take a piece of copper pipe and sharpen the edges. And especially if the wood's soft enough, like basswood or pine or bark, if I had a sharpened edge tube of pipe and you could just turn it, I think that would be the ticket. Have a whole bunch of sizes of pipe.
It's a cool idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an idea I thought of when I was doing that. I was like, I think that would work better than trying to draw a circle or use a punch of some sort.
Yep. But it's definitely better than buttons. That.
Yeah. But when you get too small, then you're basically taking plugs out because it's too, when you squish it, then you break the smaller circle. So it has to be a larger circle.
Right. Dennis Bishop asks if we can discuss. What?
You don't want to hear. Okay. Go ahead.
What is
He's it? On a mission. He's on a mission. No,
what no. is it?
No, no.
What is it? Just cuts him off. It's midnight.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's pushing midnight.
Can you discuss how you arrive at configuring body proportions?
Oh, wow.
I think I'm funny. How do you locate the eyes, head, arms, legs, etc.? I'm still sorry, not you, Dennis. I'm laughing at my bad timing. Well, there, I know in terms of realism, I don't know about caricature, there's supposed to be eight heads in a body. So like from the head to the nipple or the chest is like one head. And then, you know, there's like halfway down at four heads is the midsection or the groin. So there's ways of measuring the body. What did I say? Did I say something funny?
Nothing. I was just stuck on the heads.
The heads.
Don Mertz. If you go to Don Mertz, the would-be carver,
yeah,
he has a bunch of great helps. It's called the would-be carver, and he's got a whole website of just little tips and tricks and images and stuff. And he has he has rules of three, you know, and how he divides bodies, and the same rules apply to the head itself, and it's a whole bunch of visuals that will really help you.
Don Mertz, you said?
Don Mertz, Mertz. And I have somewhere, I have a carving from him. Fantastic carver. Mm. And really a knife-only carver, only he's kind of created his own little kind of sickle-looking blade. It's pretty cool. Mm. But cool. Yeah, he's got some great helps in there. But there again, we're talking apples and oranges, but
yeah,
because our realism versus caricature, it doesn't matter. Like I said, I've seen stumpy little arms with a guy with a monster head, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't, it's not as important in the caricature world.
Right. Yeah. That's great. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, is stretching the rules once you learn them. So anyway, yeah. So that's basically it, Dennis. I'm sure there are many other tools. As far as locating the eyes in the head, usually the eyes tend to be, so this is kind of tough because everyone's face varies, and women's faces tend to be, their eyes more centered on the head. But as a general rule, the lower eyelid as it meets the ball, usually that's going to be your center line. So if
halfway,
I was to, so if I was to double that, it should be about the same. Somewhere in that range, you know. So that's my rule for it. But also he says Alex should say male and Doug should say bag. There is no sync between you, however it's still funny. So there's an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're 29 episodes in. We haven't got it right yet, so maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
let's try it. Sure. You say male.
Bag. I'm breaking the rules.
Moving on.
Media.
What you been up to? What you been listening to? What you been taking in, reading, watching?
I'm going to give you two because right. I don't know where they fit in, but I mentioned earlier, I can't remember how he came up, but I was going to refer back to my artist of the week, and my artist of the week that I've been watching watching woodcarvers.
Yeah.
I still watch woodcarvers all the time.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a fellow named Roger Stegall. Stegall with a S-T-E-G-A-L-L. Stegall. Now, he started carving like the year after I was born.
Oh, wow.
So he is a great carver to watch because I don't think I've seen him make a mistake yet. Like he's just fluid cuts. If I was going to say one thing is that the new to YouTube has his grandson helping him film.
Okay.
But his the quality in the carving is there for sure, and some are a little bit in and out and up and down, but it's good. It's good good stuff to watch. So and he does like I said, fantastic carvings. And really good. But that's what I've been watching for wood carving.
Okay.
But over the weekend, I found this concert, and this would be right up your alley, in that kind of alternative sound. But the band's called Manchester Orchestra. And amazing. I love it. I love their music. And when I say orchestra, do not be fooled by orchestra. It's a rock band, but it's so good. And I found this concert. It's for the Black Mile. What's it called? Black Mile to
the Surface.
To the Surface?
No. Yeah.
To the Sun. Black Mile to the Sun.
Oh, you're right. It is. I don't know why I said surface. That's one of the lyrics in their songs, Black Mile to the Surface. Well, yeah, anyway.
The concert, they made it during the COVID times just to give to their fans, and it's awesome.
So look, but no, it is. It is a Black Mile to the Surface.
Sun.
I just looked it up.
Sun.
Oh, is that the name of the concert?
Yeah.
The album's called A Black Mile to the Surface.
Well, the concert film on YouTube. I wrote it down.
Okay.
To the Sun. I might be wrong. But anyway, it's fantastic. When I was carving, I probably let that play. It's an hour long.
Yeah.
56 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And I probably let that play through like 6 times this weekend. It was so good.
I couldn't
get enough. It was so good.
So good. Love. Yeah. No, actually, I got introduced to them through the lead singer, Andy Hull, who's really kind of the main reason that band exists. You say that,
but his right hand guy is really super talented.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize how integral he was to the band until I watched the concert.
Hmm.
So, but anyway, yes, Andy is definitely the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy is off looking to him as well. Andy wrote an album based on, from what I've heard, a journal that he found from an old sailor, which I think is the hipsterest story in the whole world. But yeah, this old sailor apparently wrote a journal and it had stories of his wife, I guess, leaving him. And it's just this really long kind of, you know, daily journal indicating this really sad journey in his life. And so Andy wrote this whole series of albums about this, or I think it was 2 or 3 albums about this this diary that he found. So it's really amazing. I'll send it to you. Oh, yeah, it's really sad and good. It's great. if you want to feel depressed for a while. Mine is Colt R. Idol. I don't know if that's his real name or not, but his Instagram handle is CIDOLART. So I don't know if that's C as in Colt and Idol Art. That's what I'm getting. Yeah, that's imagining. Yeah. Imagine that is. But he has my phone's dead. Otherwise, I'd pull it up and show you on my on there. But he does these really awesome Western scenes. But what's neat about his style is that it's really bright and at the same time like shadowy, and so these colors are like purple and yellow, and they're not really the kind of paintings that I would normally think of when I think of like Western colors, but he pulls it off, and to me it's neat because a lot of times you get the Western flavor from the teals and the oranges, but he does something special with color, so worth checking out.
CIDOLART. All right, I got that. I think that's on Instagram.
Yeah, really cool stuff. So
fun. There we go. I think that's it.
It's bedtime. Thanks for joining us on this episode number 29, and we'll be sure to be back again next week with episode number 30.
Take your vitamins.
Thanks, guys. One more.